Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it.
We must show them love.
We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name's Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program because I have a dear friend with me, actually a son in the faith, Todd White. And Todd, I am so proud of you because of the way that you represent Jesus, and you're all over the world. You're winning souls to Jesus' heart. You're seeing them come into the kingdom, out of darkness into the light. We've had you on the streets many times, just winning souls and working miracles and doing kingdom life. I've walked through supermarkets with you, gone into banks and restaurants, and you are the same wherever you are. You're the same in the pulpit. You're the same in the grocery store because you're a man of God who has been committed to living like a true son of God. And I want to thank you so much for representing him in that way. Now, before we came out on the set, we were reviewing a scripture out of Romans 8, verse 19. And it says, "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." And that word sons there is like mature sons, ready to walk in and live in inheritance. In other words, to be true kingdom sons and daughters. And today's program, we're going to focus on a title called The New Breed. And that term was actually introduced to you in a prophecy when we first met. Maybe you could share that story.
Yeah. At the time that happened, I was growing in intimacy with God and learning to know my Father. And I was walking the only Jesus that I know, which is full on all the time. I get enough sleep at night, I'm off. And then when I'm awake, I'm on. It's just I'm on high.
Because prior to that, you'd lived a life of drug addiction. Yeah. And, you know, you've been in and out of institutions. And
I was America's worst, I guess you could say, but God had a plan for me.
It was God's most wanted.
That's it. It was awesome. Yeah. And so at the time I was kind of going, I've gone to a bunch of conferences and I was a few years old in the Lord, and I was learning to know God as my Father. I was growing in intimacy, and I heard God say to me, "I need you to go to this conference." And I was like, well, I actually kind of argued a little just by saying, I really don't want to go to another conference. And he said, "No, I need you to go to this one. I have a word for you." So I didn't even say anything to you. And it was the first time we met. And I think it was a Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. You had said to get the recorder ready and said, "Todd White, I need you to come up here." And you had said to me, "A new breed." And when that word hit me, what happened is it hit my heart in such a way that I normally don't feel a whole lot. Like, as far as I'm a faith guy. And,
right.
And so I hit the ground, and when I woke up, there was a bunch of money on me, and I was a mess. And I said, "What happened?" And I remember the word new breed. And when that word hit me, when I was actually coming to, God had spoke to me about what that meant. And what that meant to me was that a person that would walk in the power of God, that would walk in the full-on power of God, which comes from the love of God.
Amen.
Because it's love and power.
Amen.
He gave me a spirit, not of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind.
That's so
and
awesome.
So I have this sound mind that God gave me, which enables me. Part of the sound mind is the conscience and being able to keep my conscience clean. And I feel that it is a big necessity, because when you said new breed, it was a person that would walk like Jesus walked, which is the original breed.
Amen.
But it was a new breed. It was bringing it back to the original purpose that Jesus intended it to be.
I remember that time. I remember meeting you, and you were really hungry. I remember you approaching me and introducing yourself to me. And then sometimes as a prophetic minister, I'll get these certain types of prophetic words, and they're like a commissioning word. And when that comes on me, I know it's big, and I know that that person's life will never be the same again.
Yeah.
And I remember that afternoon when that word came forth, it came with so much authority. It was like God Himself was clothing you with his self. And when you went down under the power, I could see the glory all over you. And then people spontaneously, without being asked, nobody was asked to give
That's
an offering
crazy.
Or anything. They spontaneously plunged out of their seats and poured money out on you. It was just covering you. And actually, from your old life of your, you know, drug patterns and that, you had incurred a debt that was not yet paid off. And there was enough money in that offering to completely pay that debt off, wasn't there?
It was the exact amount of what I had that I accrued on a credit card from charging and stealing money to pay drugs, drugs.
It was a brand new beginning for you.
It was awesome.
And you were actually planning on going into, I think it was real estate, the very next week. And yet in that commissioning, God said, no, you're not going to do that. I'm raising you up to serve me. And you have been living by faith with no visible means of support since then. But that was a sign that God would provide for you.
That's right.
And your wife was amazing. What a trooper she is. Yeah. Jackie is awesome. Oh. And she just came on board too. And the two of you and your family, you know, you've got an amazing family. You're a great husband, father, but you are primarily this new breed who is a lover of Jesus Christ, who keeps your heart clean, keeps your heart pure, and goes for it to represent Jesus Christ in such humility and love. And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I know that many others are going to be raised up like you because of that's what the Spirit of God in us produces.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So tell us more now about what you're carrying, because you don't desire this just for yourself.
No way.
You want the whole body to walk in
this
new breed anointing.
That's right. That's right. Well, everywhere I go, you know, the people say Todd White, you know, evangelist Todd White. And I agree, there's an office like of evangelism. But the reality of this is that God has called us all as believers to carry Him everywhere we go.
And everywhere.
It says that all creation is groaning with an eager expectation for the sons of God. So the key there is sons. So if it's a son, it's a daughter too.
Right.
It's one
and
the same. And so all creation is groaning for us to manifest Jesus. So God has given us all this short time period, this window of opportunity. And we're here to leave a legacy of what one man or what one woman, of what one daughter or what one son could do that was fully possessed and completely just every part of them is driven by God. That everywhere we go, we can manifest Him, no matter
Amen.
If it's on our job, whether it's in a grocery store, it doesn't matter. And so this thing has never left me, that no matter where I go, it's Jesus. It's a 24/7 kingdom lifestyle. It's everywhere we go, whether I'm on a bus, on a train, on a plane, locked in a steel tube at 35,000 feet with people. They can't get away. I've got Jesus to give them. If I'm trapped between two people on my plane, they're both going to get Jesus. That's
Amen.
Just that's why we're on the earth. It's not, people say, you know, it's a big cost, but honestly, the only thing God's asking you to give up is something you were never created to be in the first place. Because God didn't create you for you. He created us for Him. And so if He created us for Him, all He's asking us to do is to give up what we were never created to be in the first place.
Yeah.
So that we could bring Him everywhere we go.
That is so awesome, Todd. Last night we were in a restaurant having dinner with Brother David Hogan and his wife. Had a wonderful time. And you know, it was like, I would call it a kingdom table, because everyone was being who they were created to be, boasting in the Lord,
Amen.
Sharing His testimony and His goodness. And the waiter came and we were able to share, you know, the love of God with him. And then you saw a woman in the restaurant that, you know, you sensed was hurting or something. And you just got out of your seat and went to her. And I watched your heart melt.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were just sharing the love of Jesus, praying for her to be healed, praying for her to be touched. And it was just so natural for that to happen when you're living kingdom like that.
Amen. Amen. I don't know another way. Like we talked about, you know, the new breed. And honestly, I don't know another way. This to me is normal Christianity. And I don't look at other people's lives and say it's abnormal. I just know that this is what God's called us to be normal. And I feel like I'm actually just touching the tip of this thing, like just learning to hear my Father
And I'm so thankful for whether somebody gets healed of a stubbed finger or cancer, or I'm just thankful that God would allow me the opportunity to be able to represent him in this world. And
wow.
It's an awesome time to be alive.
It is an awesome time to be alive. And share just for just a couple of moments, what are some of the outstanding miracles that you've seen? I know salvation is the greatest miracle of all, because that takes a person's spirit, soul, body, like out of darkness into light, sealed in the Lord. That is, nothing could be better than that. But you've seen also a lot of healing miracles, deliverance miracles.
Sure.
What are some of the outstanding ones that you have seen as you've just serve people with the love of God?
I probably would say that some of the most outstanding miracles that I see, and to me personally, are when I go out like to lunch and I take pastors out to lunch, or I take people out to lunch that are Christians that don't really believe that God does it today. And I feel like those are the places, and it seems like it would be kind of an intimidating place to be. But it's the safest place to be, because I find that when there's eyes that are on you and there are people around you that don't believe or believe but don't believe enough for the miraculous, I find that that's the place where God shows up the most, because it's almost like God says, okay, here's a table and there's enemies. And not enemies of the faith, not enemies
right.
of Jesus, but enemies
right.
of the miraculous. And he says, okay, here's a table. I would like you to sit down and eat here, and I'm going to prepare a meal for you and a feast here. And we're going to go ahead and have fun. And so I find that that's the best place, because what happens is not only does miracles happen where people get healed, saved, delivered. This is huge, because we can live as an example in the body of Christ as somebody that carries it even when people don't believe it. And when they see it happen, they'll say, I saw it. It's real. That's really it. And I've watched lots of pastors just come on page with that. As far as different miracles that I've seen, I mean, we've seen the blind see, we've seen the deaf hear. I've seen a couple people get out of wheelchairs. You know, my heart is to see everyone get out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you. I want everyone to get out of a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. If Jesus was there, they'd all get out. And he said, that same Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead is in me.
Amen. And I think it's important that we just really get a hold of that, but not be, you know, I think sometimes we're intimidated when we see someone in a wheelchair, because it looks so big, right? Like last night, we were in a meeting, and there was many who were brought in wheelchairs and in even stretchers and that. And God was touching lives all over the room. People were being touched, but the people in the wheelchairs and the people in the stretchers left in wheelchairs and stretchers, and it broke my heart. And the Lord told me, don't be overwhelmed by that, or don't be dismayed, but keep pressing in, because what you're longing to see is what I want to give. But I need a people who will put their faith out for it and be relentless to press in.
Amen.
And it's like when you pray for someone and you don't see a manifestation, it can make you, you know, weaken your faith. And you can, I don't know if I want to try that again. That was too disappointing. But we can't afford to do that. And that's one thing I love about you, Todd, is that you just keep going for it. In fact, when I first met you, you would be out on the street, and even if you got a rejection, you would not let that bother you. You would just love on them and go on to the next person. And if they rejected you, you'd love on them and go to the next person. And it's like, that's what we need. That's what this new breed is made of. Mm-hmm. A tenacity of love that doesn't give up. Because we know Jesus set the bar.
That's
and
right.
The bar was that everyone got healed.
Right.
The bar was that everyone got delivered. Everyone got raised from the dead. If he was in the funeral, you know, it was just, you know, the way that we read it in the scripture.
Right.
He raised the bar. And so we need to come in line with that. And that's what this new breed is doing. And that's what I see you representing. So we're going to come right back after this break, because we want to also talk about the character of the new breed.
Amen.
Believers in Christ are to walk in supernatural power. Todd White's two teaching CD, The New Breed, will change the way you view the miraculous. Miracles follow those who believe. Activate your faith, order today for $12 plus shipping, and receive a bonus testimony CD for free. Call 866-980-5464. Mention television offer 307. Go online to patriciaking.com or text BLESS to 42828. Order now.
Now, Todd, we're talking about this new breed, and I truly believe that you represent that new breed, a people who are so passionate for the Lord that nothing else matters. And, of course, we talked about in our first half of the show about what the new breed looks like as far as doing the works of Jesus. Jesus said, we'll heal the sick, we'll lay hands on them, they will recover, we'll cast out devils, we'll speak with new tongues, we will cleanse lepers, we'll raise the dead as we go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. But I want to talk about the character of the new breed as well, because it's not just about releasing power all over the place. Right. It's about character as well, because Jesus, who is our new breed model, he manifests impeccable, flawless, perfect character.
Mm, it's awesome. I look at one of the scriptures that I love. I love them all. But in Acts 10:38, it says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good, and he healed all. And that's just an awesome representation of our Jesus.
It.
He went about doing good and healing all. Now, he was persecuted for doing good. He suffered for doing good. And it was an awesome thing. And God actually says that it's been given to us the privilege of suffering for doing good. Oh, that's an awesome place to be.
It is awesome.
The Bible says that if I'm persecuted for righteousness' sake, then I'm blessed.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed, but I'm persecuted for righteousness. I'm right with God. And so my character comes out of the fact that I'm right with my God.
Yeah.
He said to me that I'm right with him. And that means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. And when I look in the mirror, I see what God says about me.
Yeah.
I don't see what people think about me. I see what God, I look in the mirror and I like what I see. Because mm-hmm. God created me in his image, he restored it back. And so when I came into the kingdom, I mean, one of the most powerful things that happened in our lives as a family, when I came back from Teen Challenge after 22 years of addiction and all that, and I went away to Teen Challenge for 2 months after I got shot at in that drug deal one night. I went away, and my daughter is 7.5 years old, and she has no idea what a father's like except for what she grew up with. And all she knew was her daddy's a drug addict, a liar, a thief, all that stuff. Mommy keeping her up all night long, every night, telling her, your dad, I'm leaving your dad, I hate your father, all that stuff. I went away for 2 months, and when I came home, I got to my house, and I said, and my daughter came running out, and I came home 10 months early because of 3 encounters with Jesus, 3 nights in a row. I came home not to live there, but to say I was sorry to my daughter and my girlfriend because I messed up their lives so bad. And when I left, my girlfriend was not a Christian.
Your girlfriend, who is now your wife?
That's right. So my daughter came running across the porch, and she said, Daddy, you're home. I said, honey, Daddy's not home. I said, Daddy's out, but he's not home. But I'm going to be a father to you because I know that God's my father. And I told her, I said, honey, I said, I'm so sorry for all the things I did. And my daughter said to me, what things, Daddy? And I said, all the nights that your mommy kept you up. She goes, Daddy, what nights? And my daughter was looking at me with a blank stare like she didn't even know what I was talking about. And I said, stop it. Listen to me. And she was like, Daddy, no, I'm so glad you're home. And she's hugging me. And I thought, you know, that she just doesn't, she's just glad I'm home. So my girlfriend came out and I told her I was sorry. And Jackie said, I know you are. I gave my life to Jesus. And I freaked out and I said, I cannot live here because my conscience was clean. My conscience wasn't violated. I've never lived with a conscience that wasn't violated. I didn't know what it was. But when Jesus cleaned me, he cleaned my conscience from dead works.
Amen.
In order to serve God. My daughter had no memory because Jesus supernaturally erased her memory.
So she only knows she has a good
that's
father.
That's it. Erased all the dead works. And to this day, she's 16. She doesn't remember any of it. Not one job lost, not one I hate your father, not one your father's a loser, not one of that. And I don't believe that that's just a special thing. I believe that that's normal. I believe that that is what the blood of Jesus came to do. He didn't just come to clean me outside. He came to clean me inside. The Hebrews said, it says that the strong meat is for the mature. And so we're talking about the mature sons of God, right? So it says that by this time you ought to be a teacher. He said, but you need someone to take you back to the very first principles
right.
in the very beginning and oracles of God. He
right.
said, because strong meat is for the mature who have their senses trained to discern between both good and evil.
Yeah.
And right in there it says, those who are skilled in the word of righteousness. It says, actually, you need milk because you're unskilled
and the word of righteousness.
Right.
And so as I become aware of my right standing with God,
yeah,
of the relationship
that's
that I have, then all of a sudden things that are wrong, my spirit shakes, my heart trembles. And it's always been that way with me. When something's not okay, I know it's not okay. And it says to flee that stuff. It says to run away from that stuff.
Right.
So it's never left me. I don't have such a... I don't have such a need for people to hear me in such a way where I'm going to compromise this gospel. I want to make sure that the message of a pure heart is out there. The message of running well,
finishing
is out there. Because I'm not in this thing. People told me from the beginning, Todd, this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Mm-hmm. I can't find that in my Bible, man. Mm-hmm. It's race. And God's given me grace. And he said that, it says that through the free gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace that's upon my life, the abundance of grace, the violently excessive amount of grace that's on my life, enabling me to stand up under the reality of the right standing that God's given me. Mm-hmm. That there's absolutely nothing that can penetrate that. Mm-hmm. It's called intimacy. It's called relationship. So even outside of the miracles and praying for the sick and healing the sick and the prophecy and it's all the same, but that isn't where I gain my identity from. I gain who I am through my right standing with my Father. So every time I look in the mirror, I don't see regret. I have never had guilt. I've never had shame. I've never had condemnation since I've been born again. Mm-hmm. And it's 9 years, man. Yeah. People say, well, Todd, that's not everybody. That's what the gospel says.
That is the gospel.
That's it.
That is the gospel. And you know, Todd, what you're describing is a work of outrageous, amazing grace.
That's it.
And we are saved by grace.
That's right.
Through faith.
That's right.
And sometimes I hear people say, well, it doesn't matter if I sin because I'm under grace. And I thought, no, you do not know what grace means. You've never encountered grace if you say that. Because I know that for myself, when I encountered grace, on the night that I was born again, I was given a brand new heart.
That's right.
And I was delivered from sin, consciousness. And all I could see was the Lord, and everything in me desired to just do what was right, not because I had to, but because that's what I was born for.
That's right.
That's what I was made for. That's who I was. And to this day, and I've been walking with the Lord for over 35 years now. Over 35 years without faltering, without backsliding, without desiring ever to sin. But it wasn't because, oh, I got to really try hard not to sin. No, it was because of who I am. He made me righteous by grace.
That's right.
And when you see that you are righteous, then you can walk in that righteousness.
Right.
You will manifest it. You will desire it. You will long for it. And I'm concerned, as I know you are, about some of the models that we've had in leadership, because when leaders live a double life, then we have no message to give the world.
That's right.
It's a confused message, but it doesn't represent him. If we're going to be this new breed, tell us in the next moment or so, tell us what this new breed looks like as far as conduct, as far as righteousness, as far as what we're manifesting to the world and to one another.
Well, I mean, even at work, just when you're at work and there are people that are there and you're a Christian and you're on your job and you have people that are making fun of people, it'd be very important to not jump in or even laugh at it. I mean, I've been in several situations where people have been making fun of somebody, and I just say, hey, man, come on. Like, what does God say about them? And I have to shut it down. I have to stop it right away. I can't allow that to happen, and it's not because I'm trying to judge somebody. It's because that thing needs to be stopped. Somebody needs to stand. Somebody needs to do it. I've been in airports where I'm in a line where my plane has gotten canceled. I mean, all of us that travel know the way that it goes sometimes. And I'm in the customer service line, and people are freaking out in the line. And I'm walking through the line, and I have people in front of me that are raging about, why don't they get another person? Why don't they get another person? I just tap them and say, hey, that person right there, they really need grace. Do you know what grace is? And I say, hey, what do you say? Me and you join together and pray for them right now. And whether they're a Christian or not, man, they immediately silence. And when I get up to the counter after that, because it silences the people in the line, and if they don't, I'll just keep bringing up the gospel. I'll get words of knowledge. I'll get the prophetic. I'll start to prophesy over the accuser, and I'll bring the reality of the kingdom to them. And it'll all be settled. When I get to the counter, I just tell the people that are up there how amazingly outrageous they are. and how awesome of a job they've done. And yeah. thank you for doing it. Even if I've been in the line for an hour. Or, I mean, no matter what, no matter where I'm at, it's important. I think all of this comes back to me. It comes back to intimacy. Mm-hmm. And it comes back to my relationship with Jesus.
Todd White, you know what you're doing? You are living out Acts 10:38.
Amen.
You are anointed with the Holy Spirit and with dunamis power, and you're going out doing good, and you are setting the oppressed free and healing those who need to that touch from God. As you go, you're doing the kingdom, because that's what the new breed looks like.
Amen.
I want to thank you for joining us on today's program on the new breed. And did you know that that's what you're invited to? You're invited to be part of God's company, the new breed that all creation is groaning for and longing for. A breed that is full of power, manifesting miracles, signs, and wonders. A heart that is completely aligned with the Lord and manifesting righteousness and goodness and truth. That's what you were created for. That's who you are, the new breed. We'll see you next time. And remember this, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. Now you go pass that love around today.
Believers in Christ are to walk in supernatural power. Todd White's two teaching CD, The New Breed, will change the way you view the miraculous. Miracles follow those who believe. Activate your faith. Order today for $12 plus shipping and receive a bonus testimony CD for free. Call 866-980-5464. Mention television offer 307. Go online to patriciaking.com or text BLESS to 42828. Order now.